a work session.
I have something when you're done with.
Yeah, no, I just thought that we might take a minute to, if you guys had an opportunity to watch the village board meeting a couple weeks ago while we were in session, and the discussions that were taking place on that board while we were deliberating the budget. And
didn't get a chance to see it.
No, I guess it was my understanding, my last conversation with Tony, that you know, the agreement as far as the contract that the village wanted us to sign, agreeing to certain items before they would, before certain members would consider voting for the annexation. It was my understanding that we had reached an agreement. I didn't know that they actually had to have that agreement in hand prior to their vote. I didn't know that it was that vital to that vote. So I don't know what the miscommunication was, but watching that meeting was agonizing, knowing that we were totally fine with what was proposed, especially since we'd agreed that the you know, it would only be gated when we had personnel there. That was our biggest issue.
When they were doing that vote, I don't know if you recall our meeting, I got a call from Bob Baldwin,
yep, who's
their attorney, and he said they had some changes. He sent us the changes. I got the changes on my phone. I gave them to Al, and Al printed them out. And the changes we had discussed amongst the board, and we said, okay, we agree. I called him back because he said they were waiting and they're going to vote. And I said, we agree with the changes that you just sent us. Now, did they physically have it in their hand? No, obviously, we had just gotten it. But I told them we agreed, and they said, okay. They took it back, and supposedly, I don't know what they did after that, because I didn't watch back me. But.
Yeah. But, you know, the good news, and I think what we need to focus on, is that it was approved, that the town of Lysander Park is now in the village limits, and that it will be covered by the Baldwinsville Police Department, and that we will have access to village sewers. The benefits to the community are, there are a lot of benefits, specifically to town of Lysander residents that live inside the village and town of Lysander residents that live outside of the village. As a village resident, I am comfortable, very comfortable, knowing that the Baldwinsville Police Department has jurisdiction over that park. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, that was an ancillary benefit. The main benefit, and the benefit that anybody who wants to enjoy village services, the annexation was really the sewer connection. You know, as we discussed before, there's a 40-year-old septic system serving a park that's becoming more and more popular. And at some point, that septic system is going to fail and would have to be either repaired or replaced. And that's a large system. And the fact that we're now going to be able, we're going to be served by a sewer, takes any future financial burden off residents in both the village of Baldwinsville and outside of the village of Baldwinsville, because both residents pay the same rate towards that park operation. So I think it's, the four that voted for it, Rusico, Mark Wilder, Megan O'Donnell, and Bruce Stebbins are to be applauded for their foresight and belief that sometimes the greater good of the community needs to be considered in certain instances, and I think it was, and I think we all benefit from it. So I look forward to working with them in the future, and really hoping to prove those that had concerns about this move being some sort of a massive financial burden to the village wrong. I mean, I hope it doesn't. I mean, no one has a crystal ball, but I'm excited about it.
So, I'm sorry, what happened that we weren't aware that we needed to give them some kind of formal approval, that we approved it? Who dropped the ball on this?
I don't know. I mean, when I talked to Tony three times that week. Earlier in the week, I think Bob was out of town. Their attorney was out of town. because I wanted to make sure that everything was fine for them to be comfortable in voting on this. Now, the last time we talked, you said that I'd communicated to them that we were good with the contractor. I thought you'd communicated mm-hmm. to them that we were good with it. And then next thing I know, during our meeting, you know, you're communicating with us, letting us know that, you know, we need to have a signed contract.
Well, even the discussion between Bob and I at our meeting, when they were meeting and we were meeting, he didn't say, yeah, we've got to have the signed contract in our hand. He just said, what are you guys going to do? And I said, we're going to, as you recall, it was a lengthy meeting. I said, we're going to vote on it right after the discussion, the public input. And he kept calling. He said, you know, is it done yet? I said, no, because they were done with their part of the meeting. And so that's when he called back, and he said, we had this change, which we had printed. We were all set to go. We said, we're going to vote on it. And he didn't say, I've got to have that in hand before they vote. He just said, let me know if they're going to approve it. And I called him back and said, yeah, we're good with it.
Yeah, because when I watched that meeting, it was very frustrating, knowing what was my understanding at the time and what they were discussing on the board. It was like... You know, I was watching it, and
were they discussing? Were they discussing specifics of the agreement?
No, they were sitting. They were basically killing time, talking about whatever, waiting for that phone call from us that we had agreed to it.
Right.
And it came across, or at least I felt that they felt that we were aloof. Or not concerned about having this thing signed before they moved, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah.
Well, it was very frustrating because it made us look, I thought, foolish that we had to scramble and quickly vote. I don't understand what happened. It's like one of those mysteries. Like, why weren't we told by them? Why were they killing time up on the board without their attorney or somebody calling us up saying, "Will you guys?" Focus.
Well, they did.
They were.
But you just said that Baldwin said didn't make any hint that we had to.
We had to physically give them a piece of paper. He wanted to know if we were going to approve it. And I said, we're going to vote on it.
Yeah.
And after we voted on it, I called him. I said, we voted. We approved it.
And then he did need a physical.
He never said that to me.
But did they in fact need a piece of paper?
No.
Some of them wanted to have a signed contract in their hand. They wanted assurance. That before they voted for the annexation, that no,
well,
I don't.
I guess it's water over the dam, but it makes all of us in government not look too good because they could have sent a note to you saying this is what we need. We're meeting on such and such night. This is what we would like to have in our hands prior to our meeting. That would have been really.
No, I know that's the crazy thing. I mean, we meet on the same night. We knew that they were going to be voting on it. I never once received a phone call from any one of the board members saying, I need this in my hands.
Yeah, we agree.
If I said to you guys,
we're waiting on an agreement from the village, and the attorney calls me and said, we agreed on it, we just voted on it.
Approved.
Would you say, I don't believe that way, I got to have it in my hand? I don't think so. I mean, I think that's very unreasonable, given that we're sister communities here. You know, I mean, it's...
We're meeting on the same night, and,
yeah.
But you know, we got it done. We got it done.
Now, what about? It's. I guess we're getting too much out of this to complain or quibble, but this is going to change the way we use this park after hours.
No, not necessarily. I mean, we're going to involve them.
No. Section G says there will be a gate unless there's.
When there's nobody there.
Well, there's nobody.
Yeah,
there.
It'll be. Yeah. So when our personnel in the summertime. Are there up in, well, we just closed it, a couple weeks ago?
Sure.
You know, we have people there until dusk. The park's closed anyways at night, unless for special uses.
What did we discuss a couple of weeks ago that, you know, we've all agreed we're leaving the gate open? So we're not going to be able to do that.
We won't be able to do that. Well, we can do that now because the gate's open now because we don't have anybody there. While we have people in the park.
While the park is staffed.
While it's staffed.
During the summer hours.
When our staff leaves and we close the park at dusk, when it should be closed anyways. There shouldn't be anybody in there at night anyways. The gate will be closed.
So you're interpreting this as that...
That's not what I got out of
it. It says, ensuring that the gates are locked during such times that the park is not in operation. So what about December? Is it in operation or not? It's not in operation?
The park is not in operation.
So then we need to have
gates. So we can leave the gates wide open?
Yeah, because it's not. The whole point, our concern was, you know, to have to pay someone every day when the park is closed to gate it at night.
And for the last couple of years, the gate has been open all winter.
Yeah.
I hope you're right, Joe. I think you're going to get a phone call.
Well, and make sure you're reading the... Is that the latest?
Well, I don't know. I'm reading...
Tony, do you have that latest?
Didn't we make a note?
I have something from Robert Baldwin, October 19th. Here's a copy of the proposed agreement.
No, it was in November. It was dated November.
Oh, I don't have it.
It was a November revision.
Yeah.
Because I communicated that to a couple of their trustees that was a concern that we had.
Gating the park during the active park season while there is an attendant on duty.
That's the most up-to-date agreement.
So how come, did you have that?
I remember discussing that.
We've reviewed it.
I don't know if I have it.
That's the one we had when we voted on it. This is what Al printed out.
Remember we went into executive session and we covered all the points?
We had him on the phone.
All right, I don't have a copy of it. I don't have a copy of it. I would like a copy of what we voted on.
Okay, we'll make you a copy of it. But that was what was discussed.
I don't have it.
That night.
So can we make copies of that before? Yeah.
Do you remember us reading through it?
Yeah, but
we did make a note of it. I remember talking about it. I don't know if I got it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
That's unsigned. That's just
one?
A copy.
Just one.
However,
well, I think
I'm good.
I would like one.
Okay. Two.
Okay. Great.
Other than that,
so what is our next step on getting a sewer installed?
Well, I just got notification that the grant was approved by the state, so I'm still waiting for written notification. I got verbal notification that the $100,000 was approved. Now we're going to go through the engineering specs, make sure that they're tight so that we can get this thing out to bid and see what this thing is actually going to cost. I mean, I can't wait.
The sewer part of it.
Well, we're going to see what that cost is.
The sewer.
I
mean, Spray Park's one thing, but we also have bathrooms there that are on a 40-year-old leach field.
Exactly.
That we ought to get off of.
So we need to take a look at that.
Which will free up the site for construction.
Yeah, I mean, really, all we would need to do, if for some reason we didn't get a sewer connection, you move the thing over 50 feet.
Thanks.
Yeah. And you stay. I mean, it was really less about the spray park than anybody was making it out to be. I mean, we could shift the whole thing 50 feet over and not be on the leach field. I mean, the water doesn't flow off the pad. It goes down into a drain. It would have no impact to the leach field. So, and if you remember, after the bond resolution was voted down, we determined that we would phase the project in.
Right.
So the original estimate of $480,000
dropped
significantly for phase one.
And
after that, thanks to Senator DeFrancisco doubling down, came back with another $100,000 grant to help us offset the cost of phase two. So instead of working with $100,000 for the completion of this project, where it was $480,000, which included a pavilion and bathrooms, now we're getting $200,000 towards the cost. For some people, for some reason, people are still confused about that.
So can you, during your comments tonight, bring the public up to speed on the good news that we got the grant? I mean, this is all good news.
Sure.
I think you should do that. I think you need, because other folks are continuing to make it sound like, you know, we're not we're not proceeding exactly the way we said we were going to proceed, and we're proceeding exactly like we said we're going to proceed.
Yeah, we're actually in a better position now that we're phasing it in.
So I think, you know, all of us, but you're the town board spokesperson, Joe. So
sure.
What hurdles do you think we may have, though? Because we have to go before the village planning board, right?
Not necessarily. So it's not a structure necessarily. The park's going to come in as an R1 zone.
Okay.
Any annexation comes in an R1, and so I looked at the zoning in the village. We'll need a permit for it, and there'll have to be a review. They have the option of having it before planning. I would be surprised if it went to a planning board because it's an amenity to the park. It's a concrete slab with spray features on it.
Say, it's my understanding municipalities, from a permit and planning standpoint, just like when they built the bus garage when they did the site plan for the bus garage on Brundage Road in West Entry, they did not come before our planning board because they are a separate municipality, and by state law they don't have to.
Well, we can look into that, but hopefully it's not. Look, when I was mayor of the village of Baldwinsville, the village built a cold storage shed at the DPW building. We didn't go before the town of Lysander Planning Board. We also built a salt shed, which was probably more environmentally of a concern, and we never went before the planning board in Lysander. So, you know, they have a facility, they have that exists. They have a code enforcement officer that I'm sure monitors the facility.
Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge, I don't know if our code enforcement officer goes into their Department of Public Works and inspects them. You know, I think there's a mutual understanding that as municipalities we need to be responsible in how we build things, how we maintain things, and how we run our operations.
Okay.
So, but certainly, you know, in the agreement that we signed, we will work closer than ever with the village when it comes to activities in the park. I think that's a good thing, having a liaison. You know, I think it'll open up program opportunities.
Yep.
I think, you know, I've already sat down with Tony and asked him to come up with 4 specific parks programs that he can run out of either waterfront parks, Mercer Park, or community park. I'd love to see a fly fishing, an outdoor related program, either fly tying or fly fishing. I'd love to see canoeing and kayaking offered out of those parks. I would go so far as I'd love to see water skiing. If there are enough people that are interested that want to learn how to water ski on the Seneca River where I grew up, and it's not cost prohibitive and people are willing to pay whatever we determine it's going to cost to have that program, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about it. You know, I don't see any downsides at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we just get some explanation about Al's memo here about the Shanahan letter of credit? Is there any issue with this that we're voting on it tonight?
No, the only issue that we had originally is that we were looking for a 3-year letter of credit. This is 1 year. We were asking them to go back and say to Pathfinder Bank, put a clause in it that says this will automatically be renewed on a yearly basis for 3 years.
And everybody's in agreement with that?
It's going through the process.
Okay, so there's no issue.
No, just
great. I got another question. It's, you know, I keep asking it like every 6 months, but and I forget where we said we were going to be at a certain point, but the Collington Point land set aside, where are we at with that?
So the developers still have not paved the roads, so we are not in a position to take dedication of the roads. When we take dedication of the road deed, the deeds for the parcels that the town will take ownership of will transfer at the same time. So at that point, we would be in a position to review the deed covenants and restrictions before it is filed and we take ownership.
So is that what refresh my memory, is that what we all agreed we wanted to do, that we would take ownership of that, those natural areas, or we were going to, or am I remembering incorrectly that we didn't necessarily want ownership, we just wanted there to be a covenant in the deed that they will be forever wild?
The letter of intent that AU approved indicates that we would take ownership.
Does everybody remember that?
I do, but there was also discussion as to whether or not it might benefit the town to gift or sell those properties to contiguous private landowners with a covenant that, you know, you cannot build any structures on it, that it will be...
I remember that, yeah.
It'll be privately owned, but they won't be able to build anything on there, so... You know, yeah,
we talked about offering it to the adjoining landowners.
And it was specifically the areas up closer to Patchett Road, right? I think that was...
Yeah, those areas. I think Bob was...
I'm talking about the big piece.
The swamp in the back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that was going to be ours. That was ours.
Those little pieces, didn't we attach them to a plot?
As of right now, yes.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be opposed to, like, I think Anheuser-Busch owns the land adjacent to that.
Yes.
If they would want to take ownership of that land and put it in private hands, again, with a covenant on it that, you know, they can never be developed. You know, they might want an additional buffer to their property, to their other properties.
All right. So,
but we have to. There's a swale in there, right? That's part of our drainage district.
There is our stormwater management ponds are on that parcel.
Yep. And we'd have to maintain those through the stormwater drainage district. Yep.
So when do you anticipate the paving of the roads next spring?
Unless we get a break in the weather the week after Thanksgiving, more than likely that's when it'll be.
So sometime in 2019 in the spring, it'll come before the town board to accept the ownership of those roads, right?
Correct.
And at the same time, you're saying...
would be when we're accepting ownership of the parcels.
All of the parcels, including the big one.
Yes.
Okay.
No, specifically the way the site plan's laid out now, we're only taking ownership of that big one. The other parcels up in front, there'll be deed restrictions filed on the map to prevent development.
So when does that happen?
That happens when they file the map after we take dedication.
Okay. So just to repeat, just to make sure I understand it, those pieces up front, all that's going to happen when the roads are dedicated to the town, there's going to be a deed restriction put on those natural areas. And who owns them?
The adjacent lots. Well, adjacent. In the development.
So we are doing that.
By Patchett Road.
That, and then the big piece. Sense. The big piece. At the same time while this is happening, we will accept ownership of the big piece, and there will be a deed covenant or deed, whatever you want to call it.
Whatever we'll write a deed restriction.
Deed restriction. Okay, and this is something you're doing, you're going to make happen. Who makes this happen? That there's actually, the wording is written so absolutely bulletproof that nothing on this planet could ever interfere with that land that remaining forever wild. Who makes sure that happens?
Nothing on the planet. God makes that happen. I can look at the deed and tell you.
Well,
what
I just
it says.
Want to make sure the wording is strong. If
the deed
enough.
Will be done either the developer will draw the deed and give it to us, or we can draw the deed.
So
most likely it'll come from him.
A mental note that somewhere in the spring of the year we're all going to review this again under this.
Because I've got to sign off on it, right? It'll be reviewed by you.
Oh, yeah, we will file the deed once it's given to us. But in terms of the legal description of the property, it will come from the developer because he's got the map of what it is.
So let's to put Bob's concerns at the forefront. Let's make a note that, you know, we get to review what that deed says.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because Bob's right. We want to make sure. Someone doesn't show up 20 years from now, putting houses or something back there.
I want to continue using that as an example or as our first step. I'm really proud of what we did with that project in terms of not only having the developer set aside land that will be forever wild or forever green, whatever, however you want to call it. But the question that went through my mind over the last several days was, We're not, none of us are going to be on this board forever, and thank God. And nor should we. But I want to make, do you think that we created a sense that this is how development ought to be looked at in the future in the town of Lysander? I know we have a comprehensive plan. I don't know if all the stuff that we did over the last year or so is to be found in there, or someone can reinterpret that plan to say, no, development is the greatest thing in the world, and we want to do R40 development, and we're going to accept roads in R40 development, when all of us collectively, including the planning board, reached a consensus that we will never accept developments in an R40 configuration.
But I think that that's what comes down to individual boards. The next board could have a pro-development mindset and completely throw out the comprehensive plan.
But it doesn't make any sense, Roman, because we did it not for because, you know, arbitrary reasons, but because we're saying we can't afford to accept R40 development.
But if another board doesn't view it that way and doesn't look...
So this is perfect that you're coming back at that, because now I'm really worried. Is there anything we can do?
You as a town board can only do what you can do while you're a town board.
But can we
when
say
you're gone,
something?
You can't tell other town boards what to do.
I got you. But can't we, do you think we ought to at least spend some time, we're not going to do it tonight, to try to codify, or not even codify, but just put in writing the philosophy that we so wonderfully
You can
created.
Do it. It doesn't mean anything.
I know, but at least it's there. At least it's in writing that we did something.
Well, it'll be memorialized in the club. I mean, the club...
But keep in mind, that's a comprehensive land use plan that can be changed 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Anybody can change.
Actually, it recommends that we do a review every 3 years. We're due to do a review on that now.
We have five, maybe seven.
I think it's three, actually. Yeah.
All right.
We're due to do a review on that this coming year.
Okay.
You can do it as a board. You can form a committee. You can, however you want to do it, but if you would like to see additional changes, that would be the time to do it, and then you pass a local law adopting the revisions.
I think that to get to the meat of your question, though, the truth of the matter is, in the long run, we can only do what we can do while we're here. And over time, boards are going to change, developers are going to change, viewpoints are going to change.
When we agree to the comprehensive land use plan and make a motion to create land that's forever mm-hmm. wild, how can a future board change
you do it on a deed restriction.
You can't do it on the what you've
you
done.
You can't change.
Those are two different discussions. One discussion is this particular deed, and one discussion is future development.
Let me give you an example, and I get it. We can't encumber any future board to not do or do. I get that. But so let me give you an example of something, and it has nothing to do with development, but it's from my history in county parks. So Onondaga County in 1977 or somewhere around there got all the parks departments together in Onondaga County. And this was Jim Jost did this, and it was a phenomenal thing that he did. And it was this this Park and Recreation Coordinating Council study came out of it, and they basically asked each of the parks departments, "What do you do? What ought you be doing? Right? What ought you be doing?" And what developed from that was it came out that, and we put it in writing, that Onondaga County Parks would be doing things on a much broader scale, reaching people, throughout the community. And that we would never do things like learn to swim programs or after school dance programs. Now, did I have to follow that? No, of course not. But there was a philosophy that became ingrained. And all I'm suggesting here is that we don't assume, that we at least remind ourselves and the community how good the work that we did this past year. And just try to create a momentum that, Lysander is doing something different. And not to encumber, but more to just, it's like a no-brainer. This is how the town of Lysander works. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's part of the review process that Al was talking about, that we should you know, gear up sometime in 2019. But we can continue to refresh our memories and the community's perspective on how we view development. And then be whatever happens in the future happens, right?
Yeah.
But at least remind folks, because we did some good stuff.
I mean, it's rare, though, that a plan will be abandoned completely. It might be tweaked. Mm-hmm. And a perfect example is the EDR plan in the Village of Baldwinsville. I mean, there was a lot of thought that went into that, and there were committees that were put together, and we brought in an outside agency to help us see what we couldn't see. You know, sometimes when you're so close to something, you don't see opportunities. And, you know, we created this EDR plan, and it's really been a compass.
That's a good way to put it. Like a compass.
Yes, that successive leadership in the village has adhered to. And, you know, when you do that, when you're consistent with a plan, and sometimes it'll take decades for a vision to take shape. But I think the Village of Baldwinsville is a really good example of someone who years ago, and Sergey Yevich had a vision for the village, was able to articulate it, inspire others. People latched on to that, and there evolved the EDR plan. And since that plan was in place, a lot of those visions have come to fruition. For example, Lock Street. Now you're seeing private development on Lock Street, where that was once 80 to 90% owned by a municipality. Now that's all privately owned and being developed. The trail system, the amphitheater, you know, a lot of the downtown improvements and the facades that you see. I mean, really, that's an example of that, though.
See, I love it. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Yeah, you typically won't see a plan like that totally discarded. I mean, it would take an event like if we landed Amazon and they put their headquarters here and 25,000 employees were going to be living in Baldwinsville. I mean, now you're talking about a type of sea change that might require a mass revision. But I think, and to give credit to the previous administration, they did a really good job of having a well-rounded overview of the club. They, as mayor, they invited me to speak on behalf of the village and what we would like to see on the Lysander side of the river. I think they talked to the school district. They talked to the developers. They had developers on the board. They, you know, planning board members that were very thoughtful. Engineering. I mean, it was an impressive document. And I think you know, that was a massive effort, because I don't know. We were in need of that because we were coming off the TDR, which I think everyone agreed was a plan that was difficult to administer. The town was really longing for a document that gave a clear vision, and that's what I think we have in the club. And so future revisions are probably just going to be tweaks, because times change, needs change, the environment changes, population changes.
But they are opportunities to remind everybody, you know, what's important to us. So you're saying 2019 we were supposed to do that?
2018 was the third year of what was adopted. So, you know, it recommends a three-year
review. All right, so perfect,
review.
Perfect
so 2019 time. 2019 would be review and adoption of any changes.
Yep.
And so I'm feeling much better about this. So that's a good opportunity to do that reminding. And then as specific projects come up, as we're on the board, we can obviously relate to them in the way we did this Collington Point thing. All right, cool.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So that's an agenda item for the spring or sometime in
January. So in December, I'll be giving an update on the whiteboard initiatives and where we are in those. Most of them are complete. And so as a group, I would ask that the board consider initiatives that are near and dear to you individually that you would like us to look at. It's a collective effort. So CLUP will be high on the agenda, but, you know, whether it's parks,
trails,
mm-hmm. those types of things, you know. Let's throw some stuff on the board, because we've accomplished a lot over the last 2 years specifically. That board's pretty much clean. Mm-hmm. So let's keep moving forward.
One thing I'd like to see happen is, if you guys remember last year's budget, I mentioned this before the meeting started. Last year's budget, I had a real problem with the idea that we were raising taxes, and yet we were still giving raises. Now, bargaining employees have a contract, and there's raises established in the contract. I'd like to have a committee put together after the budget process where we can spend some time and try to put a plan in place on how we're going to do raises, not that we're spending a work session or a budget meeting and we're just deciding whether all non-bargaining employees get raises. I think that if we have a plan in place about how to do raises, it'll make me feel more comfortable as a board member with that process. I kind of feel like sometimes we're just being arbitrary. We're looking at neighboring towns, and a couple other towns are doing a 2% raise for positions, so we're just going to give them a 2% raise. There might be positions that we have that don't need raises, and there might be other positions where the raise is more than a 2% raise. I think that was the great thing that this board did the previous administration did by eliminating the Me Too clause, is it freed up our hands a little bit to really take a look at the positions more than the individual that's holding that position right now. And that's why I think it might make sense that this board is currently looking at elected positions, and there are certain positions that the board felt that the salary just wasn't competitive.
Well, it wasn't all elected. It wasn't.
No, I know.
We did a broad overview of other towns in Onondaga County, and we did a comparison to see where we, because we want to retain good employees, and so we determined that specifically the clerk's position was below average.
Mm-hmm.
The code enforcement office was below average. We felt that elected leadership outside of the judges were fine where they were. I think the judges are going to benefit from that 2.5% raise.
Mm-hmm.
We were very thoughtful, and it the process that we engaged in isn't much different than what I experienced in my 11 years on the village board. I mean, it's difficult when you don't have a review process for every employee year over year over year.
And that was the next thing I wanted to mention, but I'm willing to have a conversation about not having these two tied together. I do think that there needs to be a review process for every employee. In the private sector, there is. The school district, there is. Even the military, there is. Now, some of the positions will say, well, the review is a joke. But I still think that we do have to have a review of every employee and every position. And I think that the onus is on the department head at that point. But I think that the board has to really establish some kind of review to make sure that we are not only retaining high-quality employees, but we're fostering that, and that there should be some kind of accountability. My job, there's accountability. My previous job, there was I just think that people that work for the town, there should be accountability, too.
Yeah, I'm all about accountability.
And I'm willing not to hold the two together, although I would feel more comfortable if they were. I mean, an employee that has documented that showing that they are excelling, that they are customer service oriented, they're putting the public first, I think that these are employees that should get raises. And employees that are struggling to meet basic goals, maybe they shouldn't get raises. I realize that not everyone might agree on that, but I think that at least we should have a conversation and put a committee together to try to put something in place. And the great thing about not having a Me Too clause is we can really reward hardworking employees that have been with the town for 30 years, that have never called in sick, versus somebody that has a hard time showing up to work or is constantly late. I don't think that the two people should be treated equally.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, if you want to set that up, if you want to come up with some sort of a framework.
Okay.
And, you know, that's... And again, you don't need... I mean, I'm just saying this now. You don't need to come up with initiatives right now. But as we get towards the end of the year, and, you know, December's usually a light agenda. There's you know, everyone's busy with holidays. This is the time to brainstorm and look back over the last 1, 2, 3 years and figure out, and maybe there's something that we lost sight of. Maybe there was an initiative that we got busy and we had a goal and we've drifted from. I can't think of one. but certainly now is the time, as the year ends, to put together an agenda for next year. All right.
Sounds good.
Tony, you had something?
Yes. Dale called me the other day, and we discovered in our, because of the season, the snow and the parking of the cars on the street at night, we have a provision that prohibits that. But what we don't have is any penalties for that. And, of course, it's always difficult because we don't have our own police department to get the police to come over and enforce it. But if they were to come over and give a ticket, and it came before our town judges, they really wouldn't know what the fine would be or what the fine should be. They can do stop signs and those types of things because they're vehicle and traffic law oriented, so that's governed by a different law. But this one is governed by our own code, which says you can't park there from November to April. What I did was I grabbed Town of Salinas code, and I've got a copy here. Everybody just takes a look at paragraph C, subdivision 2. And what the bottom line is, we're going to need to amend our code and adopt a provision for penalties, fines. And that's why I say due to, one is handicap. I'm not concerned about that. All of the parking violations, which would this would fall under, they have $30 fine if it's paid within 10 days, $60 if it's paid within 11 to 30 days, and after 31 days, it's $120. That may be too high. These are just numbers. What I'm asking you guys to come up with is, you like these or you want to do something different? Right? And come up with the numbers, and we'll do a resolution and adopt a local law.
The ordinance that we already have references fees. However, they are not part of the town code, so they're not really enforceable. Do you have a copy of that, Timothy, Tony?
Yeah, I know what it says.
No.
First offense is $50. Second offense within 18 months is 100 hours. Third, and it says if convicted. Okay. Third offense within 18 months, if convicted, is $250. It doesn't say anything beyond that.
But is
that's
it,
what was posted in the Radisson Reflections. Was posted in the Messenger, you know, Town of Lysander parking ordinance. Spelled it all right out.
But why don't we get one of our new handy dandy revised code books and figure out what that section says?
Yeah, I don't have one.
No, it's not. That's the problem. It's not actually part of the code.
Where is it?
Where did you?
Well, then where did you get that?
That was put out by somebody. Put into the Messenger. It was put into.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
So that's the problem because it's not
somewhere. Because it's not part of the code.
Because it's not part of the code.
It's not enforceable.
It's not enforceable.
We don't even know where it is.
We do. I mean, it's in the town clerk's office, but the
piece of paper that says
the exactly, but it doesn't. It's not.
Right. And what you're saying, Tony,
we need to codify it.
We need to codify it.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Let's do it.
So if these numbers are okay, we can use those. If you want to do something different.
Well, are these numbers high enough? I mean, the numbers that Jerry just cited were much higher, and I kind of like them. But
I think a lot of those come from our code violations, the zoning violations. Mm-hmm. Those are the penalties. Parking ticket, you can't make it too oppressive.
Well, what's the cost associated with the difficulty of when this violation occurs?
Well, you can't plow the road.
Right, correctly. Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And it's right. It's a safety.
So it's messing
issue.
With
the
safety.
So I like the higher numbers too.
Yeah, like I say, it's your call.
You don't belong on the road. I mean, they, and not because we're mean, it's because we want to plow the darn thing.
Yeah, we're trying to protect them.
I had a ticket in the village last year. Yeah. The only thing with the village we learned is that, and I've been guilty of this, there needs to be consequences for not paying. They used to be just, okay, you got a ticket. We had boxes and boxes of tickets that were years old that went unpaid, and there were no consequences.
Well, it should. I mean, then it becomes up to the becomes the court's problem.
Here's something else we found. Okay, this was on a website. Okay, under laws. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah, I'd have to go backwards and figure out. But it basically stated if you were going to do something, you had to be higher than a state ticket or a
yeah. Except that there's no comparable state law that says you can't park from November 15th to April 15th. That's strictly a local law.
Okay.
So what they're saying on those things is, if we were able to set a speed limit, for example, and speeding fines were X number of dollars, we couldn't do that unless, in accordance with what you're reading, it had to be more than what the state is, because we're both regulating the same thing. Here, we're only regulating a local situation, okay, which is parking, you know.
Now, I know as you enter our town from anywhere, okay, big red and white sign,
yeah,
welcome to the town of Lysander, no parking on the roads from 2 to 7, you know. I mean, we even have spare ones of those over at the shop. So,
I mean,
you know, it's something that's been posted and publicized for so long.
People know it, but the issue is you give them a ticket and they say, okay.
Yeah, what do you do?
So there's two issues. One is what would be the appropriate fine level?
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is Joe's question is what happens if you don't pay? Is that what's the...
Well, what happens in a court situation, if you don't pay, the judge can turn it over to the state. And they hold your license.
How come that doesn't happen?
It's up to the court. I don't know.
We changed it.
Well, if it's not a state traffic violation, if it's a local traffic violation, does that apply?
You get a summons to come to the judge, and you don't. And the judge
whether
says
it's a traffic violation or not.
Yeah, the judge says here's your fine, and you don't. You say, tell me, the judge, I'm not going to pay it. He can do something about it.
Well, that's what I mean. But as far as the license restriction, is that. Because it's not part of the VNT state traffic law, can they restrict your license, or is it just a bench warrant?
Well, you could do a bench warrant and, you know, order you into court.
Yeah.
And then if you don't pay, he can throw you in jail. So, I mean, I wouldn't worry about
that. So he has consequences.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we should do this. What's the number that
people... So do we know where those numbers came from, the 50, 100?
That's just what has been in the clerk's office and has been posted annually for I don't even know how long.
I saw the thing on the messenger. I don't know where that came from.
Do you want to use those numbers?
I'm comfortable.
These are good numbers, because again, it's not.
The ones that are already stick with what we've been using.
If it's already been published, I feel comfortable with.
A year and a half sounds reasonable to me. I mean, you know, that's a year and a half. I mean, if someone got ticketed this year.
Yeah, but how do you track
really
that?
Too.
If you turned around and did it again next year, it's still within a year and a half.
Court clerks.
It's going to be difficult to track.
Not really. Put it in a spreadsheet.
I mean, normal traffic violations, you don't double the fine if you get a second speeding ticket.
I just make it high enough per instance, and it doesn't matter how often. You know, every time you do it, this is what you're going to pay.
Yeah.
You do it every 2 weeks, you're going to pay $100 every two weeks.
Well, I think that's to deter the repeat offenders.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is, let's
you
say
want to make it higher.
You do it again in 2 weeks, you just paid $200. So you are gonna, you know, there is a penalty for continuing to do this.
Yeah, I don't like the in 18 months. It's a year and a half. Yeah. It's a lot of tracking. I don't even know.
You don't need to do it.
If you have a set number, I like having a set number, but you're gonna get a ticket every time you're caught. So if it's $50. You need it this week, and then next week it's another $50. And I like it that if you don't pay it within 11 days, it doubles.
Yep.
And if you don't pay it within 30 days, it quadruples.
So maybe 50, 100, and 150.
Because the point of this isn't to like.
It's not to raise.
Yeah.
To get them off the street.
It's to get them off the street so our guys can do their job and the public can be safe.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to go instead of 30 and go 50, that's a pretty.
I mean,
you know,
overtime parking in the city is $30, 30 or 35. So if you're,
I would be comfortable with these or a little higher, 35, 70, and then.
Okay, so make it 35, 70, and 140.
Yeah. And again, if they don't get it, they're just going to get banged again and again and again. Now that's one thing, codifying. The fines and fees, or whatever, the fines, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is we don't have a police department, so we have to rely on the sheriff's department or the troopers to do this for us,
right,
which they don't historically. I think we've really had to get on them to do anything as far as like ripping tickets. One of the things that we might be hearing from the judges is a request for us to consider constables to provide security in court and maybe these meetings. Now, a constable, once you have a constable in place, a constable can go out if you ask them to, and they can start ripping these types of tickets.
Now, can code enforcement also do these tickets?
No, because code is strictly for
buildings.
Yeah, building, the building code and structures and stuff like that.
Okay.
You can't deputize highway MEOs?
No.
I think you have to, constables, to be a constable, you have to have certain.
Well, I mean, I'm sounding naive, but what's a meter maid? That's not a cop. What's a meter maid in the city of Syracuse?
She's a police officer.
She is a police officer? Yeah.
She wears a badge and uniform. She's not just
so there's not a second tier of people who can just write tickets like that.
Yeah.
So that might be an avenue for us. In the meantime, like if we pass this, we get this on the books, at least it's on the books.
Yeah, what I would do is, what we should do is we notify the Sheriff's Patrol Division. Say we have an ordinance in the town of Lysander for parking on the streets. Here's the copy of the ordinance. Here's the section. If your guys can, you know, if they get called, we ask them to issue a ticket under this ordinance. And, you know, are they going to rush to do it? Who knows, but that's probably the best you're going to get.
Good.
Yeah, so
but
let's...
Is that usually what happens? Is an MEO will say, hey, Jerry, there's a car parked on the street. I can't get around her.
Yep.
I can't finish.
No radio in.
Can you call a sheriff?
I don't know what we do now. What do? We just don't plow the street?
No, we do. Well, no, we get around them. We lift the wing. We
bury them.
Yeah.
We get around them.
Yeah. Which may be worse than $50.
Right.
My brother once parked in a no parking area in the village. He parked his Jeep there, and he knew better. He was on the board at the time. And so the highway department took their loader and buried the entire Jeep. You couldn't even see the Jeep. It was just a snowbank. My brother knew that somewhere in that bank was his Jeep. So in the spring, when we could see it, we dug it out. It was crazy.
Big
joke.
Like I said, it might be a bigger penalty than the $50 fine.
Yeah, I can't believe it held the weight.
Well, I'd say let's do this for now and at least get it on the books. So that, and we, if you want to consider the constable...
Well, that'll be. I'd like to get that from the judges.
Okay.
And maybe we work something out with our current security detail. Maybe they can, because I know sheriffs were used during the Radisson garage sale. They ripped the tickets, and they ripped a lot of tickets. I heard.
That was another one, though, that they got in front of all the people that got tickets came in front of the judge. The judge didn't have any fine section under the section of code that they wrote the tickets under, and then didn't charge any of the people.
Well, it was a pain for them to come in and sit. So at least they had to come in and deal.
You know,
next year,
they got a ticket, but didn't get fined.
They didn't get any fines.
Next year, there'll be fines.
Well, yeah, because we can put it in this. We can do it at the same time.
So, Tony, why don't we address both those at once? Board designated or town designated dates.
And these constables,
What I'll do is, excuse me, Brian, Roman, what I'll do is I'll refer, just as I would here, a violation of such and such a section, these are the fines. I'll also refer to the violation of the Radisson section, these are the fines. So they'll be covered on both,
yeah,
both things.
Because I think we made that recurring, didn't we, when we passed that law?
Yeah.
Good.
It's every year from whatever the dates are.
Now, so the process is
because
we...
It wasn't dates. It was
weekends,
or Mother's Day weekend.
So you'll have language for us in the first meeting in December. We can set a public hearing.
Correct.
And so maybe by year end, we could have this in place.
And do you know...
10 days advertising, 10 days notification for the public hearing. So theoretically, if we can meet the deadline, they can have the public hearing on the second meeting.
And depending on what we hear, you know, we could act on it after that, immediately after.
Yeah. You could adopt it on the 20th and put it into effect by the end of the year.
All right,
is a constable a civil service position, do you know?
No.
Is it something that we can have an existing, deputize an existing employee? Or
We've done that before.
Because
Ron Patchett. Wasn't Ron Patchett a
I think was
he was. Constable?
I think he was.
He was a Ballinsville police officer.
Yeah, wasn't Ron Patchett Judge...
he was a park ranger.
Judge Rutherford.
Yeah, Judge Rutherford is a constable, I believe.
Because I think that that would be something that maybe if we're going to look go down that road, I'd love to see if we could do an existing employee and take advantage of an existing employee and put them in that situation rather than hire
a... The problem with this one is it's going to be nighttime hours.
Yeah, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's 2 o'clock. In conversation with our gentleman in the back of the room. Different towns do it differently. And when they come up with a local law, then when you call a sheriff or you call a trooper in to mark a parked car, it's ticketed per our local law. How
time
we,
slide
it,
is
it? Yeah. How we enforce it beyond that is up to us, basically. You know, it comes before the judge. And,
yeah.
You know, but that way they have a local ordinance or law or number, if you will, to put on a ticket. You know, you broke this law, here's your ticket.
Yeah, yeah, so
and then
it
the
makes it easier for law
within the town instead of going to the county or the state because we've got our own local ordinance, our own local law. That is the way I'm understanding this.
Well, yeah, but you still need either a deputy or a trooper to you can't have anybody just go rip tickets.
Right.
So a constable helps us in enforcement and in security. All right, cool. That's it. Do you have any questions for
him?
No, I just.
You're just here for the letter of credit?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so the budget's on for tonight. Accept the resignation of Steve Jordan on the ZBA. We'll be interviewing candidates to fill that spot. And then see, we talked about that. New business, think of anything that you might want to add. I'm not anticipating any executive session.
You want to update anyone on negotiations and executive?
Oh, yeah. Good. We can go to an
executive.
Yeah. You guys want to move into executive session to talk about personnel matters? Right, can I get a motion to move into executive session to talk about personnel matters?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
All's in favor?
Aye.
All's opposed?
I just hit the red button. I think it turned off.
I don't know if that would the exact words that I would use. Yeah, it's not so good.
I saw it was all marked up.
Yeah.
And I talked to Joe, and Joe said he's going to take care of it.
Yeah. So once he's got that taken care of, Joe will give us a memo. Karen will release the map to you, and you can go file it.
Okay. So that's got to be done before we get the map.
It does. Yeah. Just because once we take dedication and file the map, by law we're required to plow the road. But if we can't. Can't turn the truck around without getting stuck. You can't follow
up. Yeah,
okay.
That's
your tool.
Okay.
Hopefully,
I hope Joe knows that.
No, he does. I told him. Yeah, we told him this morning. So
that doesn't mean anything, Joe.
I know that.
I've
been working with Joe for about
10
years now.
I call him. Now, you're a client. I think he returns 1 out of 10 phone calls.
Oh, that's better than he does for me. What are you doing for that kind of question? So,
yeah,
I think you're probably right. But he's pretty good about responding to emails.
Yeah, so what if I sent him an email and I said, I want to know about the fill, we stay with the fill and so on. And I said, this comes from a meeting November 1st, 2017 with you, you with Julian, and myself.
And Joe was there too, right. I believe.
He was the guy.
Yeah. I think if the fill is all placed, and I think, I don't know, I'm assuming Julian has filed the paperwork for the Lomar.
He's waiting for a reply, and because FEMA, They used to have 10,000 people, now they got 5,000 people, and they're all down south.
I'm struggling. They're a nightmare. It's a nightmare. I did a LOMAR over here in Radisson for the revised flood maps, and took a year to get it approved. Once I got it approved, I got to do ELOMAs for each of the individual parcels that have still a floodplain boundary. I got audited on the first ELOMA that I did for some nitpickety stuff that delays it a few more days. It's just they're a bureaucracy. Let's say the least.
Yeah, we're going to get these things approved.
So the map that was approved was only the lots up to the curve where the wetland crossing is. The other lots along the waterfront, at this point in time, you haven't gotten final plat approval from the planning board. But you don't want to do that until you get the LOMAR app filed and approved, so you don't have to pay the fee.
Well, if you were here, Joe did the work, let me know. And if I'll give you a call.
No problem. All right, thanks, Bob.
Okay, see you later.
Hey, have a nice day.
You too, thanks.
Are you leaving?
Yep.
Nice. You are? Oh. You're the one that's trying to fill in the river?
Cobb's lots are over there. They were on 378.
It's all that's been moved by some kind of plotting.
So
we built it up so much.
So does he have a job here, or is he can commute back and forth?
No, he's an engineer.
Okay.
So he's in one company transferred to this other company.
He's going to have that piece plowed.
67 calls. Well, Dr. Cowan's
That's a unique lot. I mean, as far as actually finding a lot like that on the east side of McMahon, for example.
Yeah, there's a person named Rose who's finding the lot. He's already got
He's already got offers on both of them.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I hadn't heard that they sold their even had offers on
them. Yeah, they're supposed to close on the one that's on its own. It's on
that
one.
Oh, it is. That one's closed. Okay, I didn't know that.
Then there's a person who works on the crowd, the CFO.
Okay.
She's taking one of the lots.
Glad to hear that Phil's in the
false hole.
Yeah,
everything's in the damn way.
There's a lot of things that are large and unique to that side of town. There's plenty of large lots on the west side of town. You can get no public water.
Everybody plants too much stuff.
No gas in most of those areas. So you got access to natural gas and public water up there, which is.
I guess the guy who owned people's cars.
Yep.
They wouldn't let them.
They wanted to use a huge amount of money to get the easement to put in pressure chambers to serve the lot. Which is too bad. It really is. It's too bad. The town has to avoid that situation for the grass. Unless the owner added something to the deed that I'm unaware of.
So you want to put in some type of sound there or something.
Those willows that they planted there will, they grow fast and they get thick. They'll be a very good sound. They'll be a very good sound.
They'll go backwards around.
So I don't know if you remember when they planted those willows, but those were sticks 2 years ago. Literally, they were sticks. You can see what they are now. Wouldn't hesitate to put another row behind what's there. If you're considering it for a noise factor. I mean, obviously, nothing blocks noise completely, especially in the wintertime.
Plant trees there.
Pine trees are always grass warm. Area. In that regard, pines are better in the wintertime.
We're just going to tear them down.
They don't grow as fast as those willows. They'll be 20 years tall.
They're big bushes. The only problem if you do a grass,
we call it a mulberry willow or a red willow.
That's the only thing you run into. Believe it or not, though.
That's what they're saying for, essentially. Right. Snow blocks.
Somebody there. He had $3,000 in the bank.
They don't have one main down, so they're not so growing over like other types of willows are. They're bush.
I never saw a
worm off that.
It's only going to be once.
Sunday, we're supposed to come in and work out the details.
Committee is all right.
Most of
the time, you go ahead and tell you you've sent your nominee. So, when are you
in? If I wanted to live out here, someone would have to be the person that always mowed. They said, I'm going to build your house. He said, town.
No, there's a
to the village, it's John Glenn at 690. So, other than peak hour.
Or 3 years ago, they told us they were going, DOT told us they had a project, they were going to put an additional left-hand turn left lane onto 370. They were going to widen 370 to two lanes. Westbound up to the bridge, and then they were supposed to go two lanes eastbound after the bridge up to 370. They had it all surveyed. My understanding is they didn't get design approval, and it was in the project budget for this year. They didn't build anything. So eventually, I'm assuming the DOT will fund that project.
If they come in and say, I need $500.
That should make a huge difference.
There were different levels of how much money the
chairman had. Left-hand traffic turn on 370, traffic turn right onto John Glenn. That would make a huge difference.
I was on the left side both times.
So. And the thing I told about is just the additional houses, you know, across from Abbott's, if they ever.
Yes.
They have these. A little more congestion.
Because they can't do anything.
Well,
you're an elected official. You can't throw you out of
this. As far as more congestion. I guess it's kind of relative. When you look at it from a
consideration,
very. We have more traffic on the roads every day, no matter what. More congestion, or is it congestion equal to really where you're coming out?
It's coming out.
Yeah. The traffic out there is so much worse. I mean, it's,
yeah.
So we are playing wait 30 seconds to the light here in Syracuse. That's not.
What do you want me to do?
I mean, that's not. I mean, you go to any other city in the country, practically, and it's nothing to wait. The light will turn four times before you even get to it. You know, I mean, it's. We're so economically depressed. We've been blessed with not having any traffic problems.
Well, it didn't come off. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Like you said, unless nobody wants to see Mr. Cobb at something that's needed before he filed it, but I mean, that would be between him and Mr. Cobb.
Remember, city said
no restrictions for the town to put on, so it's like that you should have to turn to review the deed.
How's it going?
Old.
Yeah.
Oh.
I figured what the hell, Bastion was standing right there.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
Hopefully we get a short one tonight.
Tony was supposed to bring it back today. And got over here and Sarah Green rang the bag just for money. She had a lot of the fill with the thing. She wanted to come over here and have that.
That's a good thing.
I said, well, we're going to have to do some more tomorrow. Will Jerry let you leave the trash can last year? They called.
Ryan?
I said, yeah. It's in the doors and plugged in.
First, you brought
it
off.
Well, you put fuel treatment in it?
She runs up.
Okay, as I said,
yeah, it's how's the fuel treatment? The lubricity as well as a fuel conditioner. I've been using it since the day I started. I've never had one filter, wax filter, never. I used it on guys once. He had one kind of truck. He poured it in the tank, turned it over, and watched the wax.
That's a weird.
$50.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that always is good stuff.
You'll get good stuff.
One bottle treats 300 gallons. Another pound tank is 200. So every time I call for a fill, I'm in there, he fills. So,
the operator over there at Allen Point is having a hell of a time.
So
why would you just be dumping it into your fuel truck?
After you fill your truck with the thermal, why would you just keep dumping that stuff in no matter what?
It's too easy.
No matter what.
Why would you rather fight with
it? Wow, I guess you're talking about foolish.
Even our breakfast. I call for the fill I'm at, you buy the big tank, what they call the green stable, because it has an ethanol treatment and a tooth moisture. Before that, in there, it's that way when I use gasoline, whether it goes in the lawnmower.
Good thing he's here, Jason Mike, because it sounds like we're going to need it.
My one tractor is gas.
I put that stuff in the green fuel stable.
I use the Starbright green just because that's what my marine carrier is. The
Stables.
Stables.
It's always been a motivated seat by doing what I do. I put it in that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't fault the kids.
Now, anytime I fill anything.
He's played it well all the way through. I mean, I was surprised when he
spring. I walked in his lips.
In our position, it's a gun check.
Honest, Tony.
What? What are you honesting me about?
Committee fundraiser?
Well, you know.
Or is it like, you don't think I'm
honest
with it?
No, I haven't tossed anybody.
I thought you were going to toss me that day.
Fear will keep you alive.
Yeah, it kept me alive. I thought you were in the backhand.
Shut up, you little shit. I don't need no lip from you.
Are you guys the ones that are doing the City of Syracuse GPS trucks? Not your system.
No, you know the girl that was in Aqua and then she's at DCW now.
Not really.
What is she getting?
And the most worthless of the law.
That absolutely makes sense for the county.
This is how bad I know.
That's how they would get it. Or a city, yeah, that's exactly how the city would
take a broken
monthly expenditures. Is it on? Why?
That's going to solve all your problems.
Now they'll actually know where their trucks aren't going. That's it. Yesterday, the city of Syracuse, right in front of our building, clean off right down next to the board of elections, water main breaks.
Yeah.
4 o'clock in the morning. They fixed it. I come back at 5 o'clock at night, they were still there. It broke again after they fixed it. Today I come back over to the building at West Jenny and Erie Boulevard. Water coming right down that hill. There's this much water on the ground. There's another main road up the street.
Lex, that's typically how it goes with that.
Oh, yeah.
Old up the line. You
pack
one pot.
Now we got the pressure somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. It blows out. I mean,
well, yeah.
Junk. I mean, they're...
Yeah, but think about the astronomical cost. Even if you just said you did a street to get it, you know how many millions and millions.
Oh, yeah, I know a whole lot of it. Yeah, I know a lot of it.
Can't have anybody out of... What's
that? Oh. You
You can't keep people in water. You can't keep people in water service, so it costs a lot more. It costs so much more to replace water main than it does to put it back one and put it in the ground initially. Well, then you look at how bad the road is, so it's like, well, if we're going to dig it up for the water main, you got to rebuild the road. Yeah, if you look at, well, then if you're going to go in, why aren't we separating the source?
You look at those city streets, that's not right. I designed the stormwater system for that section, and I argued to the point that the amount of work you're doing now. I argued to the point that the principal of the project, we're going to lose jobs just to shut off the doors. I mean, I'm like, sure, sanitary sewer. Eventually, you'll be able to tie it in. Even if downstream, you've got to tie it back into the storm sewer.
Yeah, even if at the end of the street, you put it back the wall.
Eventually, you'll be able to tie it in so when you separate the rest of the sewers.
Wow, we only got $100 million now, Al. Come on. That would have been $110. We can't put it that way.
What a waste. Yeah, instead they put 60-inch pipes in with 3-inch orifices at each catch basin. So you get 60-inch pipes between the catch basins with 3-inch orifices at the bottom of the pipe to slowly let the water out so that they can keep up with the treatment.
3-inch orifice?
They wanted to put 1.5 inches in.
Oh, my God. Well, they want to keep it on the property.
Yeah,
it's so good. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of broken things around it. So,
sad state of affairs. The city is broken. There's no question about it.
Well, that's right. I go from that building over to our main plant and talk about Wolf Street Road. That road's a mess. I mean, the railroad tracks are coming back up through it.
Yeah.
And you wonder why people can't keep their cars in one piece of the city.
You know,
it's all you do.
You brought that for me?
I
don't think so, Alice.
How's he doing after he rode that car?
Oh,
for Nationals.
He got abused.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he got.
What was he got through here?
How many miles to the tire do you get with it up here?
He just bought it.
I know.
Never done one.
I saw the thing and I saw the other one.
He's warned you to the car.
Looking at where it happened. I drove out there.
It is.
Come out of the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. And that's that first you get around that curve on that ramp and then you.
Yeah.
And she's went squirrely on them. Yeah.
You went bending it.
Yeah.
It sits under a tire down on his house. Now.
That's tough for class when you.
Yeah, didn't even get home with it.
Right.
It's okay, you pay for the industrial tire back into my truck. I'm over there.
No,
fix on tire. One of their guys that service.
Big truck?
Oh, yeah. Oh. With his lift gates.
I was going to say, they service a lot of stuff.
He was in a tight spot. The guy who was driving one of our vehicles. I'm pretty sure he just hit your truck because I think your tail light just exploded. I'm like, so I went up there and sure, he's like, I'm so sorry. Not only the tail light, he smashed the van door.
Yeah, that's what you want to have after.
Oh, yeah.
Try to reconcile
the two. During the apple. Free drain in the end. Now I gotta figure out time to do it. Here she comes.
Here I come.
Hello.
How are ya?
I'm good.
Hi, Tony B.
Hi, Dina.
What's going on, guys?
Your recorder's on this show.
Thank you.
Still recording.
Is it?
Yeah.
That was the point.
They got it. Caught us red handed.
That was my idea.
And Tony over there put his hand right
that
over.
Was my idea.
He's covering the
what were you talking